The Geelong Marine World post-match interview.
Benny, we've started this little series of I played for both. We've had a couple of great guests to start, Stephen Reynoldson and Tim Hargraves. But you set a challenge, and I was up to it. Clint Bizzle is our guest this afternoon for Harmac Holmes, taken with pick 75 in the 1995 National Draft. I think it was about the second or third last pick in that National Draft from Kedron Grange in Queensland.
His dad was a good footballer.
He played 75 games and kicked 72 goals for the Cats and 88 games and 7 goals for the Demons and retired at the end of 2007. He's here at the MCG. He's been good enough to join us on the line. Clint, Tom King and Ben Casanilli with you in the K-Rock box. Thanks for joining us. The first question I want to ask is, who do you barrack for today?
I get asked that question, yes, most years. Look, I've got a definite soft spot, obviously, for both clubs since I played half of my career at both, 6 years at each. So, at this point in time, Geelong, you know, have won their grand finals, mate. They've won the 7, the 9 and the 11, so I've got to go for the underdogs at Melbourne. So, it's been barracking and following Melbourne a little bit more closely, you could say.
Yeah, fair enough. You retired at the end of 2007. What's been keeping Clint Bizzle busy for the last 14 years?
Oh, look, as soon as I finished playing football, I stepped straight into, producing a TV travel show. I didn't know what I was going to start with, but, after about 13 series, being lucky enough to travel around the world, you know, with my partner. So that was an amazing experience. And now I work as a high-performance consultant, so working in leadership and resilience, tailoring, high-performance programs for committed executives, which has been keeping me very busy and something that I really love and ties back into my love of, football and high-performance, which has always been part of my DNA.
All right. Can I ask you about your very short-lived career playing for the Portside Falcons, but you played under the alter ego of Adam Clark. Can you tell us about Adam Clark and his wonderful career at Portside?
Where have you tugged this up from? A lot of people that know me quite well, I always had a love of football and drama. I studied drama at school, and then when I studied, I think in my last year at the Cats, and continued that when I played at Melbourne, and then I did an audition for Neighbours, and was lucky enough to get the part, and was on Neighbours for 5 weeks, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a short lived career with the Portside Falcons, unfortunately, but one that I really enjoyed. Thanks for bringing that up, boys. That's really great.
How did you handle being delisted by the Portside Falcons?
It was the war. It was like getting moved on from Geelong. I just had to pick myself up again and, find a new home.
Clint, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. We just had Matty Scarlett. We just finished up an interview with Matty Scarlett, and he suggested that you weren't the favourite player of Bomber Thompson. Is it fair to say Bombers sort of couldn't quite worked out your sort of eclectic side and your little off-Broadway sort of roles outside of footy? How did that relationship go?
Oh, look, I don't think it was ever like a strained relationship. I dare say, it was probably... So when Bomber got to the club, he was there at 2000. So then I played up forward. And then, look, 2001, it was, I didn't play as well. Somewhat of a difficult a year for me. So, it's just one of those things, I think. He thought that, I may be, better somewhere else. And we had a couple of conversations afterwards at the end of each year, as you do. And unfortunately, he said, I think it might be time to move on. I mean, I was very shocked at the time. Something that, it took me a little bit by surprise because I was still contracted for another year, another couple of years at the Cats. And but look, that's part of football, and maybe we are different. Maybe we are very different people, in that way. But I don't know. It's interesting to hear Scullo, talk about that and whether there was, a bit of a different kind of a way in which we saw life. But yeah, love to discover that further. I'll have to give Scullo a call.
Your career forward at Geelong and then defence at Melbourne, did you have a preference of which end of the ground you actually preferred or liked to play?
Yeah, absolutely. I was I played a lot of my junior football, and most of my junior football as a centreman, there was always a kick behind the play. So for me, it was much more natural for me to read the ball as a kind of a kick behind the play defender. So when, and plus I played for Geelong, I played a lot of my games in defence. When I first started, when I first got to the footy club, I played a little bit up forward and managed to, kick a number of goals. So that year in 2000 where I kicked quite a lot of goals was a year that, it was one sort of, not out the bag, but something that, I thoroughly enjoyed, but I much preferred to play in defence. And that's where, when I got to Melbourne, I played a lot of my more consistent football from at that time.
Have you kept in touch with Matt Damon? I know you talked him through footy, and I think you might have presented him with a Demons jumper back in the day. Have you sort of kept close with the texties and all those sorts of things?
Oh, yeah. No, me, Maddie, and Hems, Chris Hemsworth, we're all good mates, and we catch up at Chris's place in Byron Bay. That's a complete firstie. You guys have got some great research going. But look, that was, wonderful, great opportunity to, I think I was working... It was Fox at the time, and they had a movie premiere. I think it was Bourne Supremacy or one of those trilogies or one of the movies that came out. So I got to interview Matt, and I actually gave him one of my Melbourne jumpers. And as a player, you usually get you get to keep your jumper at the end of the year. And I gave him one of my jumpers thinking, that he would take good care of it and wear it. And then the next thing I know, he was then barracking for Richmond. What is going on? You turncoat. What is going on? So I should email him, even though he didn't respond to any of my emails. But anyway, another
at least,
story.
At least he didn't put it up on eBay.
Daddy did anything for it anyway.
Now, look, we've got to ask you this question. Now, you probably get asked this quite a bit, but obviously being a Geelong radio station, we love the career of Gary Ablett Sr. And you had, in some ways, the best seat in the house playing alongside of him. And he's obviously an enigma both during his playing days and since. But so a lot of the stories, as you'd imagine, are probably a lot of them are absolute crap, really. But there's one that we always say on K-Rock Footy, and it's probably 100% incorrect. But at any point in your career, did you wander out into the forward pocket alongside Gary Ablett at full forward, and just before they bounced the ball, he looked over and said, "Hey, fella," and just signaled for you to move away because you didn't want to get in his way? And did that actually happen because he didn't know your name? Now, please tell me that isn't the case, but this is a story we've run with, so maybe you could just help embellish.
Yeah. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
No, that's exactly
okay, I get it. I just said, look, I came over to him, as the bounce of the ball was happening, and I just said, "Gaz, where do you want me?" And he just said, he just said, no worries, mate, you just go wherever you want. He didn't really care, but I got the sense that I just needed to get out of the 50 and give him plenty of room and plenty of space and just let the great man do his work.
Clint, you played in one of the most emotional games of football we've seen in the last 20 years. It was up there with the Jason McCartney game, and that was round one 2005 with the passing of Troy Broadbridge in the Asian tsunami of Boxing Day 2004. What are your memories of that day 16 years on of the win over the Bombers and the linking of arms of the players on the Southern Stand side?
Yeah, look, that was something that I have to say not many players at the AFL level would go through, and now that you mention it, it brings back a lot of memories of at the time. And I went to Troy and Trish's wedding, and for that to happen, I still remember getting the phone call when the tsunami had hit, and I didn't know what was happening with Troy, and then to find out later that he had passed away, it was incredible. It was inconceivable. It was quite unbelievable. And then to come to the football club, during pre-season and just have to work through, everything that you do as a friend and somebody that you play footy alongside of. So, I think, that's where, Neil Danaher and the Reverend at the time, Cam Butler, and, we had a lot of great support that really helped us through. And it was good. It was a great win to have, against Essendon, who had beaten us the year before, but you know, it does rank as, I think, one of the most memorable games that I've ever played in, you know, because of what happened.
Wouldn't be right of us not to touch on Neil Danaher. You played basically all of your footy at Melbourne. I'm not sure whether he finished up. He finished up mid-2007. I'm not sure if you played any games under, I think it was, might have been Greg. Well, who took over as...
Mark Riley.
It was Mark Riley. It was too, in 07. Mm. But talk to about his impact on your life. And do you still have some contact with Neil as he, you know, obviously he's been ravaged by motor neurone disease?
Yeah, look, I've been on, you know, myself and a number of the Melbourne players, we've been on every Danaher drive and supported Neil and his fight for MND ever since it had happened. And look, his impact on me is immeasurable. He welcomed me with open arms, you know, to come to a football club at that time that obviously, you know, wanted me. And, you know, I felt that, you know, he had, you know, got the very best out of me as a player. He was very direct. He, you know, was a great coach, a great storyteller, and he was able to bring players along for the journey like he has with Fight MND. And it's really difficult to watch a man who was, you know, really strong and vocal slowly wither away because of motor neurone disease, because it is a beast of a disease, and that's what it takes from you. Everything slowly, you know, gets taken away as far as your motor neurones in your body. So it has been a really difficult time, but, you know, the community of Fight MND is raising money, is raising awareness, and we'll continue to fight till we find a cure. And I can tell you, when we do, that's going to be a magnificent day.
Yeah, well said, Clint. Can I ask one last one before we let you go? Do you keep in contact with any of your former Geelong teammates?
There are a couple. You know, there's obviously, you know, work and family life. I text, you know, Cam Mooney, you know, to see whether or not he'd be at the game today. So there's a number of, you know, players that, you know, I keep in contact with, you know, many that probably, you know, didn't even play many games at the Cattery. But, yeah, there's absolutely, you know, some fond memories and lots of good people that have, you know, been, you know, playing at the club, but also supporting the club. You know, those that are, you know, the strappers, you know, with it. So past players, and then it's like those that are involved in the footy club, you know, some of the biggest personalities. And, you know, they really, like all footy clubs, you need those people that are there to help support, whether it's, you know, strapping, whether it's the boot studders, and whether it's anybody that's, you know, that's able to do that. And I noticed recently that Big Fuller had passed away, and, you know, he was such a big name, you know, to the players down there because of what he was able to give to the football club. And he was a wonderful man, and sad to see him pass. And, you know, I have to send my sincere condolences to the family, because it's those guys and those people that are involved in a football club that make it what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Clint, we really appreciate your time. Great to catch up with you and find out what Clint Bizzle's been up to, but also to touch on your career that actually shouldn't be sneezed at. Not many get to play more than 150 games of league footy, and you did it 75-plus at two clubs, which is a credit to you, and you've had a wonderful career in your personal life post your football as well. It's been great to touch on that a little bit and have a bit of fun with you along the way. Enjoy the game this afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
No, thanks very much, guys, and it should be a ripping game. Hopefully the rain stays away, but it should be a great season. It's great to be back at the footy and enjoying it, because that's the game that we all love. But much appreciated.
Good on you, Clint.
Clint Bizzle, great to talk to him. Thanks to Harmac Homes. How good to have Clint Bizzle join us as part of the K-Rock family. Harmac Homes, your dream, our commitment.
The Geelong Marine World post-match interview.